Now let me go back to Chief Height. Let's see. Chief, you there?
Sorry about that. I can hear you.
Well, you know,
can you hear me now?
I figured we punched a button and you were getting a hot lead from one of your detectives.
Well, it's a hotline. I know you had other more important calls to call in, but I just wanted to say thank you, first of all, for taking the lead on this and talking about community and this whole diversity piece. I want to thank our heroes in the room with you, because they've done a yeoman's job of being ahead of this and being part of the community outreach. But they're right for asking for help, because we do really need a diverse relationship and diverse outreach process when these things happen. But, famous, to ask you a question directly, I think the detectives are doing great work and doing the groundwork necessary, because it's more than arrest an offender. We then have to make a case for prosecutor to move forward on and to make sure it is justice is served and adjudicated. We know the community has given us good information. We have some very, very accurate and timely information relative to the events that occurred for the entire day. We understand some things about relationships now in that community. It's not as bleak as people have described it. I think your guest probably did a great job explaining that. It's an interesting dynamic. I understand it's gone on for years, and it's been a community in transition and change. But more importantly, they need some assistance. They're going to need some wraparound services. After we leave today, we want to be able to go back with some services and some assistance.
Let me ask you, in terms of the search for Glenn Irvin Beard, is this a soft search, or is there an all-points bulletin out? If any members of law enforcement or the public see him, they're to call Crime Stoppers. If it's law enforcement, you all want to bring him in for questioning or bring him in for charging?
Well, for our purposes, and I'll be very, very succinct about this.
Okay.
We want to be able to allow the law enforcement to apprehend him. We need the assistance of the community, only to say that we want him to bring him into custody, because we don't want anyone taking matters in their own hands.
Okay.
Because there's evidence that we need to have, first of all, verified, and we need to be confident in knowing that the information we have is, in fact, what we know to be for prosecution.
Mm-hmm.
It's a delicate tightrope. We don't want to make sure that people understand. He's a person of interest. We want to bring him into custody to have a conversation with him. But please, I implore you, don't take matters in your own hands.
Because everybody is innocent. Absolutely. Until proven guilty beyond a reasonable doubt.
And to the victim and the family and those folk who live in that community, justice should be served. And we have a judicial process in this country, and we have to operate in civility.
So if people, know the whereabouts of Glenn Irvin Beard, they can call 911, or if they want to do it.
And or Crime Stoppers.
Or Crime Stoppers.
That information, then we would gladly follow up with you. If you want to remain anonymous, that's fine. But we have to bring, justice has to be served. You have to bring him into
being. I know, Chief, that this case is still being investigated, but one of the larger issues is to send this message. And you have talked about it before. Ex-felons cannot be around firearms.
Absolutely. And at the same time, we have ex-felons who will be able to convince ex-felons that they shouldn't be around firearms in our outreach program, like Pinpoint. We want to be able to talk about that those can be redeemed. But you first have to come into the law. I mean, you have to be within compliance. You have to comply. And we have to ask that you continue to help us. But more importantly, don't engage. Don't re-engage. An activity will put you back in the arms of the law.
Right.
Stay away from a handgun. Stay away from the ammunition. You can be charged. If you're a felon, a three-time loser law says, if you have two felonies of violent type, if you're found with one round of ammunition, you can be taken to federal court.
And it's also to, if an ex-felon is staying in a house or an apartment with someone, there can't be deadly weapons in that abode, in that house or apartment.
You're absolutely right. One of my young men I was mentoring, exactly happened to him. He had a two-time violent offender. He was in the house with his girlfriend, had a shotgun that was owned by her uncle.
Hmm.
Who had passed away, and it was a gift. Because that shotgun was in that house, and they were there for a different reason, in plain view, it was there, he was arrested.
Hmm. Right. 239-1310, 239-1310. We're talking with the interim chief of IMPD, Rick Height. Reverends Luster and Alston, Chief, we're talking about the cooperation that folks in the neighborhood, black, white, and Latino, have given your officers. Did you see that? Because I understand you were going out there door-to-door the other night.
Well, we were out there for 3.5 hours, and I've heard some testimony from young people who have been shot. We heard some people who have been victimized of violence, and they themselves victimized communities. They made it very clear that they were in the game at one time or another. But more importantly, they showed that they had compassion for the young man and his family. One young man whose life, he turned his life around at 25, was saying how he was reaching out to the mother to convince her now to not to allow the young men to hang out with these older guys who were actually involved in gang activity. And there are some people who turn their lives around in restorative justice and redemption work. They want to have a new life.
Thank
but
you.
We have to be willing to spend time in those communities
right.
and make sure they feel whole. And I think we have an opportunity to do something here, unprecedented. I mean, this young man's life won't be in vain, hopefully, because we think we have some ideas that these young people want to engage in. And long after this is over, they'll be a model for the rest of the city. So we're going to see. They seem to be actively looking to mentor and help monitor communities. We're going to see if they're serious about that.
Chief, one of the things I'm hearing you say, one of the things that I've heard Reverend Lester and Reverend Alston, say in just these last few minutes, is the things that you learned as chief, the things that maybe some of your officers learned from people in that neighborhood in the wake of this tragedy. And I know there has been a difference of opinion among people in the community as to the current deployment of forces in the Metropolitan Police area, where some neighborhoods may not have as many police officers on a regular basis. Other neighborhoods have more. Are you learning as you get out and about, because you really have been out in the streets, not necessarily in your office. You've been out in the streets, not only talking to the community, but talking to your officers, that maybe there needs to be some kind of middle ground in the strategy, that you got to deploy the officers where the crime is, but there needs to be some manpower, some person power to really get out here and find out what's going on in these neighborhoods.
Well, I think a three-pronged approach is arrest offenders. You have to do that. That's part and parcel of what we have to do. But solve ongoing problems is what you're talking about. And in solving ongoing problems, I mean engaging people when nothing's going wrong. Building a bank of trust and having those chips in the bank when things go awry, which leads to the third problem, with improving the quality of life. So arrest offenders, solve ongoing problems, and improve the quality of life has to be our mantra. And in doing that means you got to press the flesh, you got to spend time in the trenches, and at nighttime, early in the morning hours, or late at night, you have to go into the community where the community meets. You have to go into the churches, you have to go into the bars, you have to go into the restaurants, you have to go on the street corners, you have to go where people are and meet them where they want to meet. And you'd be surprised where some of the conversations I've had since I've been here.
That's
and
right.
All the places I've named, the places I had to go to learn Indy. And you called me out my first day here, and you mm-hmm. told me, hey, you got to learn this community.
Right.
And you gave me some numbers. I never forgot that. And I read those numbers and I studied the community. And based on that, I was able to go about making some difference in how they viewed me, but at the same time, view the message that we have to be inclusive and put community first.
All right. And if people have more information about the whereabouts of Glenn Irvin Beard, or you live in that neighborhood and maybe you've not communicated what you saw, what you know about what happened in the incident that took Jarrell Tucker's life, you can call Crime Stoppers at 262-TIPS, 262-TIPS, or you can talk to the police officers that are out there, or the barbecue. We'll find out a little bit later where that is. Chief, I know you're on a very fast track today. I appreciate your time. I appreciate, the community hearing this update. Thanks very much for being with us.
Well, we want communities to come out tonight. This was National Night Out, and it's important because Indy does it in a very unique way. We just had our kickoff 12 noon in Northwest District. We want the communities to come out. There'll be 100 different locations. Come out and celebrate and spend time with the police tonight.